Live streaming provided by Alpha Geek Radio and Alpha Geek Video. Visit tunein.alphageekradio.com to learn more.
Finally, Friday is made possible through the support of the Major Spoilers VIPs around the world. If you want to support Major Spoilers, find out more about the VIP program at members.majorspoilers.com. Well, hello, everyone. It is finally Friday. I cannot believe the month of June is already halfway over. My oldest son told me just the other day, he's like, man, Dad, summers just fly by so fast. Yeah, he's starting to turn into a little hipster dude. I totally agree with him. But of course, I agree with him for totally different reasons than the reason why he's saying it's going by too fast for him. But at least we made it through another week and it's finally Friday and we are together once again. I'm Stephen Schleicher and welcome to this week's show. Let's go ahead and get started with some programming notes stuff, get that out of the way early, and then I'll talk a little bit about this Flash Season 2 rumor that's going around, and then we'll talk a little bit about San Diego Comic-Con, and of course, your phone calls. That's what this whole show is about, right? It's about you calling in with your questions, your comments, your thoughts, whatever's going on in your mind. That's what we need you to do in this show. So you can either find me on Skype at Stephen_Schleicher, or if you've got a phone, you can pick up the phone and call 785-727-1939, 785-727-1939, wherever you're at in the world, you can call in and talk to us. That way, if you're listening on Alpha Geek Radio, thank you for downloading, or I guess not downloading because it's a live stream to Alpha Geek Radio. But the nice thing about that is if you're in your car, if you're driving around, it's mobile friendly, so you can listen to this show while you're in the car driving around. So we'll hopefully get a few calls from some of you this week. So next week, we're having Ashley Victoria Robinson. She'll be joining us once again on the show. I'm sure we'll talk about Red Shirt Diaries. We'll talk about her new comic book that's coming out and probably a lot more. Have you seen Ashley's new commercial? It's not really a new commercial. It's been out for a while now. But she's in it. It's for Intel, and she's featured there with Jim Parsons that you may know from The Big Bang Theory, and they're talking about Intel Core i7 processors for gamers and how it makes that a lot better. So we'll talk with Ashley next Friday about that. Also next week on the Major Spoilers podcast, and this is something that you may want to go check out. In fact, I know you're going to want to check it out because we're going to have Dr. Peter Coogan back again. And the last couple of appearances he's had have talked about some controversial subjects in and how they relate to comic books. And this next week, I think, is going to be no exception because we're going to be talking about comics as moral pornography. Yeah, comics as moral pornography. It should be very interesting. And I hope you download the episode and share it with friends. That episode comes out late on Tuesday or early Wednesday, depending on where you are in the world. And again, just as a reminder, call in 785-727-1939 or Stephen_Schleicher. Let's see. There are a bunch of people there in the chat room. Hello, chat room peoples. Just you can call anytime, Russ. Anytime before I get into this next bit about Tom Welling, because I've got a few moments on that. In fact, there he is right there. What's going on?
Hey, Stephen, how are you today?
Good. What's on your mind today?
Man, I have a few things to talk about
today. Okay.
Have you been watching any of the Women's World Cup matches so far?
No, I haven't, but I did. I do catch the updates in the mornings with CBS and what's going on with Hope and all the other teams. But USA appears to be doing okay. That's about as far as I've gone.
Yeah, I was lucky. My city's hosting some of the matches, so I actually got to go to a match last
cool.
night.
And who did you see play last night? Did you get to see America play last night?
No, where I live in Ottawa, I saw Germany play Norway, and then I saw Thailand play the Ivory Coast.
Cool. And how did those come out?
Those were really good games.
Excellent.
The first game was more of a tactically strong game, like two pretty strong teams playing each other.
Mm-hmm.
But the second game was two teams who have never won or never had like a World Cup goal before.
Ah, okay.
Desperately playing each other, so it was like super passionate. And
yeah. Well, congratulations! It looks like your group, Canada, is still in first place.
Yep, we're doing all right.
Germany is in the lead, or tied with Norway, I guess, in Group B. In Group C, we've got tied with Cameroon and Japan, and then the U.S. is dominating in Group D. Brazil in Group E, France, there you go. So that's kind of rounds it out right there. So, yeah, it looks like they have a pretty good breakdown of the teams this year.
Yes, and my wife and I just purchased tickets this morning. On Monday, Canada will be playing the Netherlands in Montreal.
Excellent.
It's only a two-hour drive away for us.
So that's what you're going to be doing on your Monday?
Yeah, so Monday afternoon, we're going to leave work early and just fly down the highway and hopefully get there on time.
What is the speed limit? I guess you guys are in kilometers up there, but how fast can you drive before they pull you over?
What's 100 kilometers an hour?
It's 80 miles, I think.
I think it's 80. About that.
Yeah.
So we'll see how safely fast we can get down the road.
It's summertime. Don't run into any wildlife. You should be fine.
Exactly. Let's see. What else is on my mind? Fate.
Fate.
Your stuff. I bought the Fate Core rulebook.
Excellent.
Slowly making my way through that, which has been a really interesting read so far.
It really is, and there are certainly things in the Fate system that you can do that we didn't do or we didn't show off in our game. But there's a lot of different directions you can go with that. And I just love the fact that it's just this huge open world. You build it, you kind of make up the rules, how you want to play, just follow these kind of guidelines and then go to town. So do you have a group you'll be able to play with?
I have a few people at work. I'm actually next weekend, I'm going to be playing a completely different role-playing system with them just to try and get their feet wet. I found online someone made a kind of stripped down Shadowrun module.
Oh, cool.
Called Flight of the Robins, which is a Gotham City set role-playing game where Batman is missing and all the players are former Robins and Batgirls.
Oh, that's cool.
Trying to find Batman.
Oh, that's neat.
And the person really took a lot of care to try and bring out the interpersonal relationships.
Yeah.
And friction. So I'm hoping these people get into their characters and cause a lot of drama and chaos.
Well, the only other thing that I am looking at right now, and I don't know if this is going to pop up or not. Nope, it's not going to pop up. I have the Call of Cthulhu System 7 or Version 7. Which came out it was about 3 or 4 months ago. And I'm starting to finally read through that. They just did an update to the system, and so they sent out a new batch of PDFs for everybody. And so I'm going to look at that and see what I can put together in that realm of Cthulhu. So I'm looking forward to that. But your Batman game, your Robin game, sounds really cool. This is something one of your friends put together, or you found it online?
No,
or?
This is just... a different podcast series that I listen to. They play... Like, it's structured to play, like, every month they play a different game.
Oh, neat. Okay.
And so, one of the games they played was this game called Flight of the Robins. And it's a free download that you can find, and, yeah, it's interesting.
I'm definitely going to check that out. Here it is, right here. Flight of the Robins, Peaches and Hot Sauce. Is that the...
Yep, that is exactly it. Let's
see if I can get it to call up. It's a PDF file, so it's kind of large here, but... See if we can get this to pop up, or at least a graphic. Probably not. Doesn't look like it's working now. That's okay. Well, that sounds very interesting.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the only thing I haven't had time to do in the last little while is read comics. So
kind of in that way, too.
Glad to hear that the post-convergence DC seems to be telling some pretty interesting stories right now.
I've only had the chance to read 3 comics from DC since Convergence ended. And that's been Bizarro number 1, Starfire number 1, and Batman 41. And all of those have been fantastic. And if you're just looking for a fun, quick read, I would recommend getting Bizarro number 1 for nothing else than to just sit down and read and have a good laugh, because that one is really good. If you want to see, as Matthew and I discussed on Dueling Reviews, where people were like, oh, that's not the Starfire that's appropriate for my kid, or that's not the Starfire that I am familiar with from television, then read Starfire number 1, because it kind of addresses a lot of those issues. And then Batman's just Batman, so.
Cool. I think my local comic shop keeps Hellblazer and Wonder Woman on tap for me, so I'm looking forward to getting back into those.
I think Matthew just reviewed Hellblazer up on the site this week. I think just yesterday, I want to say. So if you want a little bit of spoilers, you can head over there and check out his review.
Great. So. Well, that's all I have for you. So have a great weekend.
All right, man. Thank you for calling in and have fun at your watching the soccer. So, all right. That's Russ Cat from Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. All right. Let us talk about this crazy rumor. I received more than a few tweets this week from people asking me, what do you think about this news that Tom Welling is going to be on The Flash season 2 next year? And I just have to say, dear listener and dear viewers at home or wherever you may be, I think you know my stand on it. When they make it official, then I'll comment on it. But sadly, and this is where we get into it, it looks like this is just another link baiting article that's gone up on a website looking to trade in traffic for lack of credibility, to be honest with you. Why do I believe that this story is fake? Well, come along with me, dear reader. And as we look at the clues and we sniff out how fake this story is going to be. So first of all, what is the source of this story? In this case, it is a Reddit poster by the name of Comic Central City. Who's So that should be your first clue. A Reddit poster says, hey, I've got this breaking news. And he said that producer Greg Berlanti, here's Greg Berlanti, you know him, told a bunch of reporters at a recent CW event that Superman may appear in the next season of The Flash. Now, come on. Unless an actor's been nailed down, and unless the contracts are signed, it's still all up in the air and is still rumor. Just like that rumor that was going around last week about Jason Statham was going to join the next season as Daredevil, and then suddenly, oh, he's no longer going to be part of this. Is it because we were talking about it on the internet? I don't think so. Now, remember, Greg Berlanti is a very busy guy. He's got The Arrow, The Flash, Supergirl all going on. If he said anything that had the word super in it at a CW event, he probably was referring to Supergirl, as that's, of course, the other show that he's working on with CBS. Finally, if Greg Berlanti were to be at a public press event, he would know better than to share a rumor about these kinds of things about casting and storylines, because PR people would be jumping out of the trees like ninjas to take him out before he could utter a phrase. Now, what about Tom Welling as Superman? I don't think it's a horrible idea, but let's look at that realistically. Tom Welling doesn't want to wear the Superman suit. He's afraid of the curse. So why would he do it on The Flash show? I've said it before, and I'll say it again. When one site says XYZ actor has been cast in an ABC role, it means it's not confirmed. It's a rumor, or it's just a flat-out publicity stunt by an actor's agent. You can take a site, you can take a story, and talk about, hey, here are these people that are in the talks. Here are the five people that are into contention to be or in the running for the next Spider-Man. That's fine as long as you're talking about, hey, this is all rumor. This is not substantiated. This is not fact. Problem I have is when people take a story that says Jason Statham is in talks with producers to possibly star in Daredevil. When they take that story and they turn it around to Jason Statham has been cast in the next Daredevil season, that's where I have a real problem with. So my thing, and the thing that people kind of jump on me about, I know Scott Kurtz has jumped on me about this before, wait until it's confirmed. Then we can talk about it all we like. The final thing that I'll say in regards to this is, first of all, Greg Berlanti would never have said that at a CW press event. Number two, Jeff Johns, who's the chief creative officer at DC Comics, has said, hey, there's a Batman v Superman movie coming out. There's no way that we're going to allow Batman or Superman onto the small screen before that movie comes out. May happen in the future, but not before that movie comes out. So there you go. This rumor about Tom Welling being Superman on the next season of The Flash right now, total absolute bunk. Don't believe it. Don't repeat it. Don't go out and say, yay, Tom Welling's returning as Superman, because he's not. It's that simple. Now, if it changes, I'll go, hey, look, they've changed their mind. Hey, look, they cast Tom Welling as that. But right now, total false. And all of the clues that you can follow to sniff out the BS in this story are all right there in front of you. And I think listeners and viewers, you too can sit down and you can play this game and and figure out what stories are fake and which stories are total crap. Or maybe you don't agree with me. Give me a call, 785-727-1939. 785-727-1939. That is the Major Spoilers hotline. Justice League 41, Action Comics 41 were really good too, says Jarmo. Yes, but Daredevil got the Punisher. Well, that has nothing to do with the Jason Statham news. It was just that he was joining the show. Yeah, we got a Punisher. Had nothing to do with Jason Statham one way or the other. He was already in that story. If you are on Skype, you can find me at Steven_Schleicher, and I will enjoy talking with you. In just a second, I think we're going to talk about San Diego Comic-Con. But first, for those of you who are listening on Alpha Geek Radio, we're going to have about a minute and a half of silence. The rest of you watching on YouTube, check this out. And welcome back to the show. Thank you, everybody, for checking out a lot of the other shows that we have in the Major Spoilers Podcast Network. Everybody puts in, you know, hundreds, sometimes thousands of hours worth of work into these shows each and every week to bring them to you. And I hope that you find them enjoyable. If you're looking to get all the shows in one place, then just point your browser to the Major Spoilers Podcast Network master feed on the iTunes. Or there on the Major Spoilers website, you can subscribe there and grab it. And we appreciate all of your support. 785-727-1939. That's the number to call. I know that there's a lot of things on your mind this week. I can see you guys all chatting it there in the chat area there on YouTube. Give me a call and let's see what's going on this week for you. San Diego Comic-Con is coming up. How many of you are excited for San Diego Comic-Con? I know I am. Every year I get excited. It's like I get giddy because I know it's like it's a lot of work is coming up, but it also means a lot of good stories, good entertainment, good items to discuss and speculate about for the next year. It's all coming down the pipe over the next couple of weeks. So what is it, like 3.5 weeks away? We'll know more about the complete schedule in a couple of weeks, although most of the major programming stuff has already been announced through a bunch of other channels. San Diego Comic-Con or the Comic-Con International website won't release everything until next week, week after, 2 weeks before the event. So the last week in June, they'll get things out. But I have already started to see some things that makes me kind of wonder what's going on with the scheduling at San Diego Comic-Con. And I think Saturday, which historically has been the big day for Hall H at San Diego Comic-Con, I think it's kind of been ushered to the curb by Friday. It's been ushered to the curb like your drunk uncle on a Thanksgiving day after dinner. I'm not saying that Saturday is a complete waste of time because Warner Brothers is going to be there. Warner Brothers is going to be there, and they're going to be talking about Batman v Superman. They're going to be talking about Suicide Squad. They're going to be talking about the Justice League, Wonder Woman. They're going to be talking about all of that. And I think it's going to be a mind-blowing experience. I think we're going to see more heroes and villains on stage since the, what was it, the Challenge of the Super Friends or that live action roast from back in the 1970s. I think we're going to see more stars on stage than what Marvel was able to do when they first unveiled the Avengers oh so many years ago. I think that the Warner Brothers thing is going to be so spectacular on Saturday that it's going to bring down the house. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, they've put that WB event at the very end of the day. At 8 o'clock p.m., Hall H is the Warner Brothers event. I don't know if Kevin Smith has something planned at 10 o'clock or late night or whatever, but 8 o'clock, last event of the day, that's where Warner Brothers is at. That doesn't quite make a lot of sense. I mean, sure, it does, I guess, because you want to close out the convention with a big blowout star-spangled event. But what about the rest of Saturday? Right? For at least a year now, we have known that Marvel was not going to be returning to Hall H this year. That news came out last year, came out of the mouth of Guardians of the Galaxy director James Gunn following the convention when he said, oh yeah, Marvel Studios won't be having a Hall H presentation next year. Now, there's not an official reason for this, but you know, several of the Hollywood trade magazines have said that it's everything from the upcoming D23 event, which is the Disney event where they were going to show off a bunch of stuff, to the fact that Marvel Studios spent about seven figures on last year's event just for their Hall H presentation, to even being afraid that they can't compete with what DC is going to unveil with all of their big things. And you know, regardless of the reason, you know, this the lack of Marvel Studios in Hall H is a big reason to shine the spotlight on Warner Brothers on Saturday. But like I said, Saturday historically has been a big day. But I think Friday is surpassing it. And here's the reason why. First up, we have Ash versus the Evil Dead coming out on Friday at the show. And I know a lot of you are thinking, how can Bruce Campbell beat Batman and Superman and the entire Justice League combined? Well, Bruce Campbell is a huge personality at Comic-Con, whatever Comic-Con, whether it be San Diego or a Wizard World convention or wherever that he's appearing. Bruce Campbell is big to the convention circuit, and he has endeared himself to fans for years and years and years and years. And I think he's got a much better presence, and people want to interact with him more. And I think he's a lot more interesting than wheeling a Ben Affleck or a Gal Gadot out on stage to simply wave at the audience and then trot them back off like they did last year. On top of that, the fan base for Army of the Darkness is huge, and Army of Darkness fans for years have been begging and pleading for a follow-up to Army of Darkness. That included Bruce Campbell and Sam Raimi, and guess what? They're all back, and they're doing that again. So that's coming up on Friday. Lucy Lawless is going to be on there, too. So I think that Stars panel is going to be packed. And, you know, years ago, when I went to Comic-Con, we tried to get into the Bruce Campbell panel, and it wasn't in Hall H, but it was in one of the smaller areas. But they had to turn half the people in line away just because it was packed and so many people wanted to see it. Then there, of course, is the 800-pound gorilla that I think really is going to blow the show away. And I, of course, am talking about Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. Now, Disney and Lucasfilm are bringing Star Wars to the show in a big way this year. And with the Episode 7 panel scheduled on Friday, I don't know how Saturday will even be able to compete with the internet melting news that's going to come out of that panel. Historically, Friday has also been Star Wars Day at the show, at the convention. But this year with Kathleen Kennedy, J.J. Abrams, Lawrence Kasdan, and quote-unquote surprise guests, plural, I think Hall H is just going to explode with excitement. Now, that's in the morning, I want to say, is when that one is. Do you need some more reasons to wonder why Saturday may be eclipsed with Friday? Well, here's the programming schedule that we know so far. Here's what's happening on Friday. Star Wars The Force Awakens, Big Bang Theory, Lucifer, The 100, Teen Titans Go, Minority Report, Vikings, Bob's Burgers, The Originals, Sleepy Hollow, Archer, iZombie, Ash vs. Evil Dead, and then Mike Tyson Mysteries. A lot of people going to line up to see Lucifer to see what Vertigo and DC is bringing to that show. Minority Report, I really expected that to be a Saturday event, but no, it's all on Friday. Here's what the Saturday offerings are. You ready? Last Man on Earth, Blind Spot, The Simpsons, Family Guy and American Dad, Outlander, Person of Interest, Salem, and Containment, the Warner Brothers Superhero Saturday, and then Scream Queens, which takes place, I think, over at another event somewhere else in the building. Doesn't exactly sound like a fun-filled, let's line up earlier, let's line up for 5 days to see the Saturday events. Friday sounds a lot more exciting. Even though I'm no longer a huge fan of the Big Bang Theory, I can see people lining up for that, and Lucifer and the 100 and Teen Titans Go. Certainly sounds like a heck of a lot more interesting. But again, Warner Brothers event doesn't happen until the end of the day on Saturday. Most of it's being television program day. I think Friday has stepped up and said, hey, we're going to be showing you all the killer things that people are going to be talking about for the next 6 months on Friday instead of Saturday. What do you guys think of that? Give me a call, 785-727-1939, or on Skype at Steven_Schleicher. Let's see. Interesting, no actual comic book buzz coming out of the comic book convention. Okay. Well, so first of all, Hall H is for the big media presentations. So if we look at this in the media presentation side, just on Friday, preview night on, is it Wednesday? Wednesday or Thursday on preview night, they are showing off the pilot episodes of Supergirl and Lucifer and Teen Titans Go and a bunch of other stuff. So there's a bunch of comic book related stuff. Star Wars is a big pop culture and comic book thing. Lucifer comes right out of comic books. Teen Titan Go comes right out of comic books. iZombie is right out of comic books. So you've got a bunch of comic book stuff on Friday. On Saturday, you're right, there is just a lot of television stuff, okay? With the exception of WB's Superhero Saturday, and that's what they're calling it, the Superhero Saturday, which kicks off at 8 o'clock p.m. As far as other things that are going on, we'll know closer to the date exactly what panels are going on. If you want to go over to the Major Spoilers website, over here in the top right corner, right here, this Major Spoilers coverage, just click on that, and that will give you all of the coverage of the show and some of the things that are going on, some of the panels that have been confirmed, some other things that are happening. You know, if you want to find out what Nick is doing with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and SpongeBob and all that, they've already announced their schedule. You can find some of the exclusives and other things, but there are a lot. We'll know again a lot more next week, and even more so after that, again, as the publishers start coming out with stuff, which is, again, rather odd that they're keeping the schedule that tight before the show. It's like, well, we'll tell you everything that's going on 2 weeks before the show, when a lot of these booths have been booked months ahead of time. A lot of these panels have been set up months and months ahead of time. I think the reason why they wait until the last 2 weeks is in case their scheduling or changes, or in the case of Hall H, if there's a bunch of stars that were going to be there and then are not going to be there, people aren't going to be disappointed for that. So I think that's part of the reason why we don't see a lot of that coming out until the show. And then, to be honest, and I'll be totally honest here, as far as the Comic-Con's biggest disappointment for me, is the fact that even when you go see a panel about Batman or DC or Marvel or whatever that's going on, they don't tell you anything, right? At least when you watch, when you go to a media panel and you see the trailer for something, you have something tangible. You kind of know what's going on. The directors and the actors can be there to talk about some of the highs and lows that they've experienced during that production or whatever else that they want to talk about. Maybe you get a great moment like the year that the Green Lantern movie was coming out, and you had what's-his-face up there reciting the Green Lantern Oath. Now, granted, the movie sucked, but that moment where this little kid comes up and asks him to recite the Green Lantern Oath was awesome. And it was a memorable moment. Or the year that Andrew Garfield came up to ask a question at the Spider-Man panel and then ripped off his mask and revealed that he was Andrew Garfield. That's cool stuff. But you go to a comic book panel and they're like, well, next year we're going to be doing something cool with Spider-Man, but we can't talk about it. So don't ask any questions about it, because we won't talk about it. There's really, as far as hype for what's coming out in future comic book stuff, unless a company is really willing to say, here's what it's about, here who our creators are, you can ask some questions about it, it kind of just becomes a huge teaser. And that's one of the bad things about conventions. Certainly there are some great panels out there. Like if you're going to go and look for a panel about women in comics, or if you're going out to talk about educational benefits of reading comics, those can be some really good panels. But as far as just trying to get pure news, a lot of the stuff they've already announced ahead of time. And sometimes it's either anticlimactic or they're just teasing you with no real news that's going on. So that's just my view on that. Maybe you have some different views. In fact, I would encourage you to call in 785-727-1939. San Diego Comic-Con has not been about comics for years. I'll agree with you. I have a love-hate relationship with Comic-Con. As long as Hollywood keeps going, it stays that way. Just curious what event comic is coming to ruin my favorite stories. Well, we don't know what, we know that Divergence is probably the next big storyline that's going on at DC Comics, that we know right now. After Secret Wars, we don't know what's going on after Secret Wars. I'm sure they'll talk a little bit about that at the Comic-Con. Although they have already teased a bunch of stuff, we know that some universes are going to merge and we're going to see more Miles Morales in the main Marvel universe, but it's going to be all new, all different. That's all that the comic book publisher is going to tell you. As you look forward to your future comics, all new, all different, all the time. Let's go to the phone lines. Who is this?
Hey, this is Joe.
Hey, Joe, what's going on?
Not much. I was just hearing you talk about Comic-Con, and I don't know too much about Comic-Con specifically, but I started going to the PAX, the Penny Arcade Convention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And one thing I noticed was that, which I didn't really expect, was that at least for that convention, Friday had significantly less people than Saturday.
Yeah, and that makes perfect sense, because if you think about it, I mean, people, a lot of times they don't book their whole vacation around a PAX or a San Diego Comic-Con. The day that they buy their show is on the weekend when they can go, so they go and get their ticket for Saturday and Sunday when the show is wrapping up. So everybody shows up on Saturday to participate and try to get as much stuff as they can. So that's why typically the shows are much larger on Saturdays than they are on Thursday, Friday.
So I was thinking that maybe if they're trying to spread out people over the whole weekend more evenly, that's why they try to put more stuff on Friday, but who knows?
No, you could absolutely be totally on the mark there, because San Diego Comic-Con has a space issue. If you followed our Major Spoilers podcast, where we were talking about the Salt Lake City Comic-Con and the lawsuit that was going on there last year following the San Diego Comic-Con, you know that SLCC, the Salt Lake City event, had the potential to be even larger than the San Diego Comic-Con, which means that San Diego Comic-Con can no longer claim to be the largest comic book convention in North America. You're right, then, if they move some of these big events to Friday, they get more people to come on Friday than normally would, and thus boost up their numbers. Ah, some good thinking there.
Yeah. So that stuff's interesting. I have mixed feelings. Like, I watched a lot of the Star Wars Celebration.
Yes.
The just live streams. And I thought it was really fun to go. And I even went back on YouTube and watched some like previous interviews with Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill. And I just had a blast, like got sucked into it during that weekend. But what I did notice is like J.J. Abrams has been really good, and like the cast and crew have been really good about not giving too many things away in terms of spoilers. I'm just worried like that if I watch this stuff in Comic-Con, they'll be tempted to give away a little bit more until the movie gets released.
On the plus side, for whatever reason, San Diego Comic-Con does not stream anything coming out of All H. They never have, and they never will, which is silly and ridiculous, and they need to get over that, and they need to start selling pay-per-view to any of the panels that you want to watch. That's what they need to do, but they don't. There are some other conventions that do that, but San Diego doesn't. So you'll have to watch sites like Major Spoilers or others that are covering the event if you want to see some kind of up-to-date stuff that's going on. Still, though, they don't give a lot away. What they could do, because we are getting very close to the toy release time and those kinds of things, they may be bringing everybody out on stage and telling you exactly who they're playing in the movie. And then that may, of course, be a lot of spoilers for some people. But I think a lot of those new actors, or, you know, not the main Star Wars actors, have already been revealed as to who they're playing and you know, what their names are and, you know, kind of what costumes they wear. The one thing that really hasn't been unveiled yet is the synopsis. What is this movie about?
Yeah. So that stuff's interested. Yeah. So I might try to see if on YouTube someone puts up like an unofficial live stream. Sometimes people can smuggle cameras in.
No, they definitely won't, because they have zombies walking the floor ready to grab you anytime that kind of stuff starts.
Oh, so they have it really locked down.
Yeah, they really do. The one thing that they have never done, which I'm surprised they haven't, is to just totally disable all Wi-Fi in that hall. But they are really good, and of course the studios and everybody are really good that, you know, if there's a video that pops up that shows you like the trailer for Suicide Squad or whatever that shows up in Hall H, it'll be up for like an hour and then it'll be totally taken down off YouTube. So if you do see any of that pop up and you want to be spoiled, you better watch it as soon as you can, because if you wait too long, legal's going to have it taken down faster than you can say, hey, look, there's a video.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. So the other thing that I wanted to talk about, which is not really related, is just that I've been using Winamp for a long time, and I've been using it as my podcast downloader.
Yeah.
And recently it just started bugging out, and like every few days, like random podcasts would just delete from the subscription.
Interesting.
List. And so I said, you know what? Winamp's really old. They're not really supporting it anymore.
Had they discontinued it? I thought it had been discontinued.
Well, it was discontinued. Then AOL like sold it to another company, and they haven't done anything with it yet. They're working on like a whole redesign of it.
Okay.
So I said, okay, you know what? Maybe it's time like I just get something else. So I just uninstalled it, and then I went searching online. Like I tried another one called Clementine. I was going to say tangerine. Okay. That's not right. Clementine. Okay. And I tried that out, and that one worked, but like it was really annoying. Like the functionality when you like double click a song, like it appends it to the list. It doesn't start playing it.
Yeah.
And so I was doing like registry edits to try to fix it, and that didn't work. So I just uninstalled that. And then now I'm like, you know, looking for another. I just want a simple music player that can download podcasts, but.
It is tough because I don't know that many. I don't use any besides iTunes really. But you know, there is, if you're just looking for places to find online audio, you know, Stitcher, Spotify, Those are some great places. Our podcast show up there. I'm trying to think of some other.
Yeah. I mean, I just want something that will just take in an RSS feed and then download the episodes when they come out. So I'll keep looking for that. That's just, as someone who listens to podcasts a lot, that was just an annoying thing that happened to me. And
I don't know why so many people can't get just podcasts right. I mean, even Apple, that was a big supporter of podcasts for a long time, the minute that they made the podcast its own little app and everything, man, it's so hard to keep things in order or to get them to play in your playlist or do anything like that. So even iTunes is not perfect when it comes to playing podcasts.
All right. And that was, I just remembered one more thing I wanted to say about
conventions. No, that's fine.
Apparently I was really surprised that Comic-Con has stuff locked down like that. Cause one trend I've been seeing is that when you're going to conventions, like, PAX, for example, they live stream all the big panels now. So now deciding what to do there is sort of different. Cause like I can watch, Firaxis is going to announce a new game, like maybe a new Civilization thing or whatever. Like, well, I can just go home and watch the live stream. So I don't need to wait in line for 2 hours to get into that room to watch that announcement.
Right.
And since everything is being live streamed, I guess like I was in this weird situation where, well, I still want to watch a couple panels live. So I still ended up waiting in line for like the more interactive panels where you can like ask questions and it'll be more entertaining. And then the more just like news feed announcement stuff, I decided to just, and then I didn't even end up watching it. I just probably read a few articles summarizing it.
I think you go to conventions, especially the San Diego Comic-Con, you go for the spectacle of it all. Because it is just this, you know, overcrowded, you know, in your face, noisy event. But I'm surprised because even in 2006, just before we were, or even 2003, when we were just getting ready to start the Major Spoiler site, I was like, why aren't any of these, you know, panels being recorded and then put out as podcasts or streamed live or whatever? Now, some companies like DC occasionally will record their panels at events and release those. And I know they've done it the last couple of years after San Diego is they'll take all their panels. They have them up as MP3s. You can find them on iTunes in the podcast, and they just release them that way. There is a company called ConTV that has partnered with, I want to say, Wizard. And what they're doing is they're going around and they're streaming some of the Wizard World conventions. And streaming the panels from that. And everybody's okay with that. I think part of the reason why San Diego has been hesitant to do it is, number one, they have so many panels going on at one time that it would be hard for them to get the television equipment in to do, you know, the 35 panels that are taking place in the same hour. They could still audio stream it. That would just require a laptop and a good internet connection. The reason why they don't stream the Hall H presentations is because of the studios and their restrictions on what can be shown and not shown and what can be said and not said. So the studios really kind of control a lot of that as far as what could be streamed. But I mean, San Diego, they're a nonprofit organization, so they're not allowed. They're not supposed to make money. I don't know if they actually do break even each year or if they have a surplus, but they could make some money by having a direct TV or a pay-per-view event of just Hall H. And people would love it. But then again, they wouldn't be able to stop people from recording something off their TV and putting it online right away. So it gets a little complicated from the legal side.
Even if they kept the Hall H stuff out of it, I'm surprised that, like, I mean, Blizzard's virtual ticket for BlizzCon seems to work pretty well. I mean, personally, I think it's a little bit overpriced, especially since you're still able to catch some of that stuff after the fact on various places online, but like I'm surprised more conventions aren't trying to do something like that, at least as an experiment.
Here's the other problem with it too, and this goes back to almost like you have to think of it as a sporting event. There used to be this rule about blackout areas where you're not allowed to broadcast a game live within, I want to say, 50 miles of the event, because the stadium owners were afraid that, if people could just stay home and watch the baseball game or the football game, they're not going to come to the stadium. So if we black it out, there's this urgency for more people to come that way. Now, I don't know if they do that so much with the major league sports anymore, but certainly with college sports up until this past year, it was illegal to simulcast a game that was going on within 50 or 100 miles of that event.
Right.
Con organizers may be thinking the exact same thing. If people can just stay home and watch all these things whenever they want on demand, no one's going to come to the show, and that could be a real pain for us. So there's a long list that you could come up with of reasons why conventions don't stream stuff. But I think Wizard World is starting to get it. And and I think we'll probably see some more of those probably within the next 4 or 5 years. We'll start seeing more conventions streaming their entire lineup of events. So, but it's just that waiting game.
Okay, great. Well, it's nice talking to you.
All right. Take care. Right. Bye. There you go. Good questions. 785-727-1939. Got about 20 minutes to go. Let's see. I didn't send somebody a file. Let's see. What do we have in here? Actually, going to a con is probably the worst way to get news because everything goes online instantly and is faster to find. I agree with you. In fact, that is why Major Spoilers does not attend major conventions to cover them from the news perspective, because we can get that news faster and get it up faster just through all the press releases that are sent to us and all of that other stuff. So I think we've done a pretty good job these last, 9 years in covering conventions without ever having set foot on the show floor. Let's get to this phone call, and I will come back after that, and I will tell you how you can get involved with Major Spoilers and our convention coverage. So let's go to the phone lines. It's Fabian. Fabian, how are you?
Great, thanks. Hi, Stephen. So Major Spoilers is my prime and basically only way I get my SDCC news. So,
right. Thank you.
There you go. Thanks again for that.
Thank you.
A great show so far.
Oh, thanks.
Pretty great stuff. I love your attitude about all the announcements, and I don't want to see clickbait
right.
stuff on Major Spoilers. You're just that classy, and it's great.
I don't know. Some people are just like, oh, then your site must be so boring because you don't have all that salacious stuff. Well, we had this article up this last week about Stephen Topolowski talking about how long Bill Murray's character was in Groundhog Day. And that wasn't clickbait. That was just, oh, here's this interesting fact that we're putting online, and people love that. Now, granted, it's not Jason Statham is going to be in the next season of Daredevil, but, it was still fun to share.
Maybe it's the other way around with the Tom Welling in Flash. Maybe somebody really wants him to get back into TV and being Superman. And we've seen it with X-Files and stuff that if you create enough buzz, it may come true.
It can. In the case of X-Files, though, before that social media campaign started, both Gillian Anderson and the producer, Frank Spaniff, I think, is the producer. They were both like, oh, yeah, we'd be super interested in this. And Duchovny had even said he was super interested in this. He said his only problem was he couldn't do a full regular television season because he's just too old and can't meet with that schedule. So he said it would have to be much shorter. When that came about, when those revelations were made, that's when Nerdist jumped on and started creating the hashtag X-Files 2015, and then there was enough buzz generated from that. In the case of Tom Welling, there could be ways that they could make the Tom Welling Superman work. Either they set that in the same Arrow universe, which would be odd since Smallville had its own Arrow and Flash characters, or because we know Barry is going to be jumping through the multiverse and doing some time traveling, Smallville could just be another one of those multiverses. Tom Welling, though, over the years, I don't know, he has not done a lot of acting. He's become much bigger as a producer and a director. And so he may not even be interested in coming back in front of the screen, although he's a pretty good looking guy. And I'm sure a lot of people would love to see him back on the big, on the small screen. Big or small screen.
I have not checked how he looks.
No, he looks pretty good still. He looks pretty thin and rugged looking. So
yeah, surely better than I ever have. So
me too.
I don't know. I saw a lot of movies the last week, and okay. There's a photo. Tom Whaley.
Yep.
The YouTube is always lagging.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of movies that I'd really love to tell you about.
Okay.
You said we could do reviews like videos or something.
Sure.
I have not set up that for this week. Maybe okay. Some other week.
Yeah, just send them to me and we'll play them on the show.
I bought a cute little, like nearly independent movie called What We Do in the Shadows. Have you heard about
that? Yes, I have watched that one already. It is fantastic.
Isn't that great?
Yes.
So
if,
great.
If you are, listeners, if you're a fan of, Flight of the Conchords, then you'll want to watch this because I forget which one. Well, two of them from the show are in the movie.
Yeah.
In fact, The tall one with the glasses is one of the actors in the movie and producer.
Yeah. I've never seen that. It's really hard to get in Germany.
I guess I can imagine.
There's no German version of a DVD or something. But actually, surprising, What We Do in the Shadows, pretty accurate with the German.
Oh, is it?
Really great scenes when... the one has the Skype conversation with his old thrall. Whatever he calls. It's great German. It's really accurate. That surprised me.
Good. So and What We Do in Hollywood. The Shadows again is a documentary about vampires, and it's very funny and very well done.
It is. It surprised me because Hollywood always kind of gets it wrong. And another one that I've seen is a smaller films, the Kung Fury stuff.
I think I have seen that. What's the name of it?
Kung Fu, but Kung Fury.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's free on Steam.
Yes, we've actually had that. I haven't watched the whole movie. But we actually had that trailer up on the website years and years ago when it was this crazy fan film thing. But yeah, I have not watched the whole thing yet. But is it worth it?
I think it's funny enough because it's so short. Brian Brushwood and Tom Barrett have really sung its praises on its spoiler in time, the Court Killers section.
Right.
And that's the only cause that I wanted to see it, actually. It's absolutely over the top. And
yeah, it is.
I'm always surprised how many swastikas are allowed outside of Germany.
Well, and that's the thing. Outside of Germany, it's not a big deal. But, you know, in Germany, it's like you can't show them anywhere, correct?
I really have to research that because it's a little the words are failing me right now. It's not a hard and fast rule, I think. Usually video games and some movies had to alter it. There were games that had the Iron Cross instead.
Right.
And some had the edges filled out and it was a rectangle with a cross in it. So it wouldn't be the real thing.
I want to say for some reason, like several years ago, DC Comics had to alter the cover where they were fighting some Nazi supervillain.
Yeah.
But on the inside, it was okay, but they just couldn't have it on the outside. You would know more about it than I would. So,
yeah, and I need to research it. And I really want to because... actually, the book rights for Hitler's Mein Kampf are running out next year. So
interesting.
Some publisher here in Germany could actually grab it and bring it out again. usually it's forbidden everywhere.
Yeah.
Only for study purposes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we see where that's going.
That would be interesting.
There was a Turkish comedian or actor who mm-hmm. toured the nation and Austria reading from the book. And I've seen the book about the tour and his reading in the previews. So we see how that's going if I ever want to read it.
Okay. But
let's why did I bring
up, because we were talking about Kung Fury and all the swastikas.
Why did I want to talk about it? Oh, the German in it is abysmal.
Oh, I'm
it's
sure.
It's so bad. It's so freaking bad. It's there's two guys talking in front of some Hitler castle, I don't know, and they are just spewing Nordish gibberish.
Mm-hmm.
Really, just to have it sound funny,
right?
I
right.
guess that's the usual thing Hollywood does.
Well, at least in this, I think that's the point of with Kung Fury is it's just supposed to be making fun of everything wrong with the 1980s action thriller stuff, and when you can throw in dinosaurs and time travel and Kung Fu Hitler and all this stuff, then it really goes over the top and makes it kind of crazy.
I really don't want to. Have a big I make a big fuss about German being spoken badly in movies. It's not a big deal, but I really like the positive thing, like mm-hmm. in the vampire thing where it's good and
I think everybody, regardless of where they're from, wants their language represented correctly.
Yeah.
And I would think for the most part that Hollywood would too, or comic book publishers when they're, I mean, Rodrigo constantly talks about bad Spanish in comics. But I think you would want that to be accurate because you never know who is watching your product or reading your product. And if you're more accurate, it makes you think more highly of the movie in the case of What We Do in the Shadows, makes you think more highly because they did it right.
It's really good.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of small videos of the German comedian Flula, who seems to be getting bigger in America right now.
Okay.
He's in Pitch Perfect 2.
Ah, okay.
As one of the competitors. So mm-hmm. so I don't know. Maybe a little bit of positivity is creeping into America.
Yeah, yeah.
But things that really bug me in comedy is always, the Germans and their weird porn stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That's really bugging me because I see a lot of American porn being mm-hmm. worse. So I don't know. There's some stuff we actually don't have to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
So, but one movie again. I finally had the joy of seeing Mad Max Fury Road.
Ah, okay. What'd you think?
I loved it. It was really great. The English in the cinema and with all the noises was a little bit mm-hmm. hard to hear for me.
Right.
And it's not even American English all the way. It's some kind of Australian, British accent stuff.
Right.
So I have to admit that I didn't understand everything, but who cares? The story is really great, and all the buzz about female positivity finally in a big blockbuster are not exaggerated.
Oh, yeah.
I think the kick-ass women characters are what makes this movie special, and
mm-hmm.
I'd love to see it again in cinema, and I'm the moment it gets on some kind of disc, I'm buying it.
Yeah,
because I want to play it to bits and watch it again.
Just some of the big spectacle scenes are just worth watching again and again and again.
Yeah. Some stuff you miss in the cinema, and some really creepy small stuff I nearly missed, but I was nearly gagging in the there. Did you see it?
Yeah, me, Brian, Zach, and Rob. Maybe Rodrigo saw it too. I know Brian saw it, but he wasn't on our summer movie special episode.
So
we saw it.
Oh, right. I need to go back and listen to it, right?
Yep.
Yeah, you did it. And so I had to wait 2 or 3 weeks for somebody to go with me. Now I get to go back and listen to that. So
there you go.
I get to hear your opinion after all.
It's a good movie. It's really, really good. And as I said, I really think that Charlize Theron should be cast as Captain Marvel in the upcoming movie. Yeah. I just think she does such a strong job, fantastic job, that she'd be perfect for that movie. If Marvel Studios was smart, that's who they'd be going after.
Maybe she's a little bit too good of an actress or too expensive. I don't know. I really liked her in Mad Max.
Yeah, yeah.
She totally acted amazingly.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did.
So I don't know. Well, what did she do that you didn't like?
Oh no, I loved her. I thought she was perfect. I thought she was strong. I think she was awesome. I think that everything about her, you know, what she did in that role was super, super positive. And I don't think there's anything in the movie that I disliked a lot. It's just for me, I saw the movie once. I got the big spectacle. Unless I just want to sit there and watch it for the big spectacle again, I probably am not going to watch the movie again, but it was totally worth going to see.
Yeah. There's all the little bits you nearly miss. So
yeah.
There's the one scene where the guy from Gas Town, with the silver nose and the elephant foot, he runs over that one character and nearly shivers with excitement, and it's so disgusting.
Yeah. There's definitely a creep and a gross factor going on in that movie that also was a bit of a turnoff for me, but I still thought it was a great movie.
Yeah, and the thing is, I've talked to you about my semi small town in the outskirts of Hamburg.
Mm-hmm.
And the cinema here, the big movie house, I think, is really expensive. You've talked about it in your neck of the woods as well, but I got to drive 30, 40 miles, I don't know exactly, and to Hamburg to see the original version. And it's still, with gas money, it's still cheaper to go there. So, and I love the cinema there. It's it's really neat and has great seats that recline backwards. And,
oh, nice.
Satin curtains or something that looks like it. It's a really great place. And I'd love to go more with what movies are coming out next, I really need to. I want to see Jurassic World, and I didn't expect it, but I'd love the Minions trailer.
Oh yeah! My kids are both like jumping up and down, wanting to see that. And as soon as it comes out, I told them, "Your mother can take you guys, and you guys can all have a lot of fun."
The idea to make the Minions for Eternity, to go back to prehistoric and medieval times, so they can be the Minions for the biggest bad guy. That's a great idea. I guess only going to be 5 minutes in the actual film, but great idea. I didn't expect that.
Yeah, it looks fun. And the kids, like I said, are super excited about seeing it. Yeah. We'll probably all go together as a family. So
thanks. And sure. I got to leave you. The hour is almost up anyway.
It's almost up anyway. Yep. Okay.
Thanks for
Fabian.
Talking to me.
Have a great week. Bye.
You too.
Yes. We will be seeing, as you heard Zach talk earlier, we will be seeing Jurassic Park this weekend. I think I'm going to take my oldest boy just to see if I can scare him with fake dinosaurs. And then we'll be talking about that next week on Zach on Film, so be sure to check that out. I would love for you to get involved with our coverage of comic book conventions. If you are going to a comic book convention, and you want to take photographs of cosplayers or whatever that you find interesting at the convention, please, please do. Please get in contact with me. I'll set up an FTP for you so you can transfer all those pictures to us and we can show them up on the website. I love that. I love having your participation in the site. And the more people that can participate, the better the site becomes. And we can do it with everybody's help. It's like a big community, right? A big commune of comic book fandom over at MajorSpoilers.com. As Fabian said, we are out of time this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks for checking us out. And 7 days is going to be here. It's going to be over before we know it. And we'll be back again for another Finally Friday. Take care, everybody. Have a great week.